Brethren, the time that the past year, 18 months, I've had two operations, pretty serious operations, and I came to realize something about life, and that time is an invaluable commodity. And when you're young like you folk are here, you think that you have all the time in the world. I used to think that as well. My age that I am, I still... I often used to say, I'm going to live to 150 to see what's going on in this world at the age of 150. And I realize now I'm not going to live to 150. I realize now that I am mortal. Coming to terms with my mortality has not been easy for me. As with most males, I think it is not easy to come to terms with it. One day I'm going to pass from this world and I will then be answerable to my Creator. Now, brethren, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, if you would turn there. Talking about time and redeeming our time. In other words, purchasing back our time. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In other words, think about what you're doing and do it according to the word of God. So be wise in that way, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, there's a much to do and there's a lot around of evil going around, sinful things going around. So make sure that what you do with your time, that it is godly and that you are serving God correctly. Now, if there's anything that we have learned as time goes by and as you grow older, you're going to learn is that you will learn what the value of time is to you. And life is going to teach you that time is a very, very important and a very valuable commodity. And you will learn, as time goes by and as you learn and you realize that your time is coming to an end, that it is invaluable. You cannot put a price to time, to your time in your life here. And when time has come and gone, you never have the opportunity to regain that time. Once it's gone, it is gone. Those of you who were 13 years old once, the time has come and gone. You will never be 13 years again in your life. You guys are starting to get to the age of 16, 17, 18 years old, and you'll see that time will go and you will go past those times. And you will never have that time repeated to you once again. So when you have this time, whatever age we are at, we need to use our time correctly for God, and that is redeeming time. The spiritually wise man, brethren, realizes the value of time in this world, and he realizes the value of meeting spiritual challenges in this life. To redeem is then to buy up one's use or for your benefit. And we're talking about redeeming time, to purchase it for your benefit, for your use. Paul is not discussing the buying back of time that we have wasted in the past. That is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's simply telling us to pay the necessary price in effort to sacrifice correctly our time in serving our God. That's what he's talking about. The time that you have, use it correctly to serve your God. And don't waste your time, because then you have lost that time. We need to redeem it. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. If you would go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, and we just read over here, and Apostle Paul says to us, "And let us not grow weary while doing good." Don't become tired of doing good. "For in due season," that is the time, "in due season, in the future, as time comes, as the opportunity arises, we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Don't get tired of doing God's work, ever. Brethren, you just do not know who you can convert. You just do not know. I've converted men that I thought would just not be any way that this man would ever be converted or this woman would ever be converted, and they were converted. And some of them have become really good Christians. He continues to say in verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. By making the most of our opportunities, brethren, We save the value of our time as it passes by. It is then credited to our spiritual accounts up in heaven with God. And our time is, our life is a time of opportunity. That's what our time on earth is. It is a time of opportunity. In Colossians chapter 4, we are taught there how we are to use our time toward people who are not Christians, who are outside of the body of Christ. And it gives us a simple, basic function that we have to participate in. It says there in verse 5 in Colossians chapter 4, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. So in other words, brethren, when you are with somebody who is not in the church, who is not a Christian, don't go along and say to them, well, let's go to the pub, the bar, and have a few beers there tonight. You don't speak to people outside of the church with that type of thought. You guide them with wise words, wise decisions to get them to the church, to become children of God. And so then you are redeeming this time that you would have spent with this man or this woman in a sinful area, participating in sin. You are now swapping it out for time to teach them the word of God. Now I'm going to spend a little bit more time on that principle that I'm talking about here. Units of time have significance only as a part of the bigger picture. And that's so true, brethren. Our moment should be part of a bigger season. Our life should be seen as an opportunity. And we mustn't just see our life as something that time is just passing by and we just ramble on, get going. Yeah. Time in our lives is so important. And some of you will only realize this when you are close to meeting death. And then you start to realize, wow, I wasted so much of my time. I should have been doing so much more for the Lord. I've missed out. I've insulted God by not spending more time doing God's work. And that is what the function of the Christian is to be doing God's work as often as he can. His life should be so that it just be automatic. You don't even think about it. You just simply do not sin. And that is the way that the Christian should be living. It is a season characterized by one main duty, and that is to fear God and keep his commandments. And we know that that comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. To fear God and keep his commandments. That is the all. That's what we should only be interested in, is fearing our God and keeping his commandments. When the Bible talks about fearing God, it's not that when we are obeying God and we are obedient to God that we still fear him as the sinner should fear him. But we know that God says to us, Norman, if you are not at services every Sunday evening, every Wednesday, and every time that there's an opportunity to have a Bible study, then it is a healthy thing to fear your God. Because the chances are, if you're not staying away because of a legitimate reason and you're just lazy to be at services, God is going to punish you. Don't bluff yourself, brethren. Don't think that you can spend your time in the world of sin and you have all of these great excuses and reasons why you're not at services and Bible studies when you should be redeeming your time to be spending it, that time with God. Now, let me just talk a bit about this redeeming. We are only able to redeem or purchase our time if we give something for it. In other words, if I go and I purchase a hamburger, I have to give something for that hamburger. So I lose something and I gain what I wanted. So I lose my dollar. I give my dollar and I gain a hamburger. If I am at the swimming hole, or at least at the fishing hole, at the dam or the lake or wherever it is that I do my fishing, and I should be at services, well, now I'm using that time incorrectly. And we need to know this, brethren, that this is incorrect time, usage of time. And so we are wasting our time there. So how do I set this right? Well, I can't set the past right. It's gone. It's done. But my thought should be about the future. And I should be redeeming my time in the future. So the next time Sunday comes along, the first day of the week, where I would usually be out with my buddies at the fishing pond, I now swap that time for time to be with God's people at services. And now I am redeeming my time. I'm purchasing it back. This time that I would have wasted and not been with God's people. I'm now taking something and I'm giving it back to Satan. He can do with it what he wants to. But my time that I am in charge of, that I have control of, I am with God's people here. And so I'm redeeming my time. I'm redeeming it. I'm repurchasing. I'm regaining it. And this is important for us to understand these things, brethren, that my time is limited, as your time is limited on this earth. Ask any elderly brother or elderly sister in the congregation here. I can almost guarantee you that any one of us that is of a significant age, far more older than what you guys are here, would say to you, I wish I had spent more time studying, going about teaching more people, being more serious about my work with God. And some of us have really been good about that. But there's never enough. You've never done enough. Nobody is ever, who is a mature Christian, is going to say, I've done enough. I can sit back and relax. I can retire from Christianity. Nobody with any wisdom about God and Christianity is ever going to say that to you. So we cannot say that. So once we do this, once I'm able to swap out this time for God, I swapped out this time that I'm at the fishing hole, the lake, and I swap it out for God's time, I've then purchased this one great goal by forsaking the lesser goal. I've won. I'm making profit here. Great profit. If I'm able to lose the things of interest in this life, and they don't mean much to me, by forsaking the lesser goal, brethren, I'm able to understand and I will learn that forsaking the lesser goal for a greater goal is what pleases God. And I will find that God will smile upon me. What that means, guys, is that when God smiles upon us, he will bless us. Let me tell you something. God's blessings are far more better than any cool car that you can get. Any cool chick or any cool guy that you could ever get, I promise you. God's blessings are far more valuable than that. Look to God for his blessings, his kind of blessings, and you will, as time goes by, you will begin to appreciate what God has given you. And it's far more better than any material blessings that you can receive in this world. I'm not saying that money is unimportant. We all know that it is. But that is not important as what God is important. God is the number one. The only one is number one. As our brother said earlier on, I think it was this morning, that when we put God first, he's right at the top, and he's at the bottom, he's in between. And that was a very good way to explain about God being number one in your life. And that is exactly how we should see our God. He's number one in every decision that we make. When I do that, and I'm now spending my time thinking about God and how to teach other people, I've redeemed my non-valuable time for valuable time with God. And you cannot put a price to that, brethren. It is so valuable to us. It is so important to us. It is God-given. I can't gain time. I can't purchase time. Neither can you. It is God-given. And the amount of time that I'm going to be in this world is up to God. But let me, in the time that I am here, try to work and do things the way that God wants me to do these things. It's important for gain of Christ than to be redeeming time for God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he says to us here, "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ." You see, this time that I had at the fishing pond, at the movies, or wherever it is, that's gone. What a waste of time. And yeah, you want me to not come to services and go to a movie? Oh, come on, guys. Come on. Let's get serious about God and his laws, his word, his expectations of us. Let's see the reality as it is, and that we have responsibility to our Creator. He continues to say here in verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, not the mediocre knowledge, the excellence. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. All the money that I can make on the stock market. And if I had to spend 1 hour working at the office on the computer trying to make another $1 million, or whatever it is, he says it's rubbish compared to the blessings that God gives us, eternal life. And when we start to see life like that, we then start to see the whole panoply of God far more easier, and his plan for us. God has got such a beautiful plan for you and I to spend eternity in heaven. And yet I want to go and lose that because I want to be watching the drag racing, the motorcycle racing, watching the netball game, basketball game, sorry, game of soccer or American football, whatever. And I mean, sport is neat. Sport is good. I was young once and I enjoyed my sport. But let me tell you, brethren, there's nothing like being a Christian to the best of your ability and giving your time to God and appreciating God and taking his blessings and seeing the wonder of God's blessing. There's nothing more beautiful than that. In periods of special immorality, the Christian is forced to pay closer attention, and he cannot neglect to watch each step of the road when it becomes rocky. We have to be so vigilant and look to what we're doing. When the danger is so great, brethren, when the days are sinfully dangerous, wicked or vicious, we must be all the more careful to examine our lifestyles. Check your lifestyle to see if it's with God. And this morning in the class and also in the sermon, brother was speaking about walking, the walk of faith. That just simply means living by faith, living God's way. To walk your Christian life means to live your life this way. And we should be living our life that way. Walking with God, walking with our faith, studying the Word of God, knowing what God wants us to do and then be doing it. I want to conclude now, brethren, and I'm on time here. In redeeming whatever time or opportunities we have is a self-defense mechanism, brethren, against us losing our perspective in this world's allurements. We have to regain this time that God has given us. Remember, God has given you the time. He's given me the time. And I can either spend the time the way that God has suggested that I spend it if I wish to go to heaven, and I'm sure we all wish to go to heaven, or we can be spending our time and giving it to Satan and be sure of going to hell, being condemned eternity. I really do believe this, that most of us here have got better plans for our future in this world to come, in this life to come. And that is that we do not want to spend our future with Satan and his angels and his demons in eternity. But we'd rather be spending it with God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, with the apostles, those prophets of old, with those people, with other Christians that have passed away in our lifetime that we were fond of, and we could see that we're sure that they've gone to heaven, and spend eternity with them. I don't want to spend my time in hell with the murderers, the homosexuals, the drunkards, the liars. That's not where I want to be. I want to be with good people, such as yourself. And I'd rather spend eternity with you in heaven than with all those other millions and billions and billions of people who are lousy liars and will say anything for you to go to hell so that they feel good and Satan is then honored. In redeeming this time, it's also necessary, as we do not know the length of our time here or the circumstances of our days for tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This morning, coming down the steps at Brother Stephen's home, I think he and his wife set a trap for me. So as I was walking down the steps, I didn't see the last step. And I thought I was on level ground. I was brought down to earth pretty harsh. And they got a fright, but when I started giggling about it, they also saw the light side of it. Fortunately, I never got hurt. But brethren, I don't know what tomorrow holds, how many times I'm going to fall again and slip somewhere along the way. Neither do you. It could have turned out to be a horrific accident. I could be driving, and the other day I was driving and in the United States, over in Athens, and I went to the wrong side of the road. So used to driving in South Africa on the other side of the road. And I was on my way, I was crossing the highway to get to the other side, and I was going to face oncoming traffic on the highway. That would have been a shocking surprise for me, to wake up dead because I wasn't thinking clearly. Fortunately, my wife started shrilling and screaming at me. She didn't really, but she certainly got me to wake up, and I realized I'm going the wrong way. And so, no, fortunately, no accident would happen. But brethren, that's how easy things can happen. That's what I'm trying to get across to you here. Don't think because you're young, that life cannot come to an end pretty soon. Don't make that mistake. Don't ever make that mistake. I remember baptizing a man a while back, not too long ago. He got baptized on the Sunday. The next Sunday, he didn't turn up at services. I thought, oh no, what have I done this time now? What's wrong with my teaching? Where am I not teaching that? Because I go through all these things with the man before he gets baptized, letting him understand you've got to come to service and all that. And he wasn't there. Well, he didn't turn up the next Sunday as well. And then his wife came and saw me, and he'd been killed in a motor car accident just after that Sunday that I'd baptized the man. It was sad. It hurt, broke my heart. But brethren, am I not pleased that that man was baptized and he's saved? I believe that he's in heaven. I truly pray that he is. Redeem your time while you have the time to do it. Let's just go over to James chapter 4, if you would please, and I'll close with this text. Hebrews, James chapter 4, verse 13 down to 17. The man says to us, the apostle James says to us now, come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. But he's not saying, let's go and sin or anything, just go and let's make a bit of money so I can treat my wife to take her to the mall or something, give her a pair of shoes, something like that. Nothing that, but the problem is, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. That's the point I was trying to make with you about falling down the steps or almost driving the wrong way up the highway and killing my wife and I. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Good question. It is even a vapor that appears for a little while or a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Is it a good thing to redeem your time for God? Yes, it is. Is it a good thing to swap out your time that you would have just wasted at some place to be with God's people on a Sunday morning? Yes, it is. If you know it's good and you don't do it, that alone makes it sinful. We need to be doing what is correct and not sinful. Today must never be taken as commonplace, brother. Don't ever treat today as commonplace. Use your time to serve others. Get closer to your friends. Use time to bless your family. Look after your family. Teach them these principles about God. Thank you so much for your time, brethren. Thank you for listening to me. Amen.